Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you, and welcome to Islam and Life with me, Tariq Ramadan, broadcasting from London. In today's show, we ask the question, why are Muslims represented as the bad guys in Western movies?
Come with me. La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah.
Muslim characters have long been portrayed as villains in Western movies. This representation began after World War II and upon the creation of Israel, when Hollywood started saturating world viewers with films portraying Muslims and Arabs as violent characters. Big production corporations, supported by Israeli lobbies in the United States, have also helped in constructing this stereotypical image about Muslims in Western movies. Professor Jack Shaheen, who authored the book Real Bad Arabs, How Hollywood Vilifies a People, pointed out that one reason these negative images and stereotypes of Arabs and Muslims continue is politics.
One reason we've not been allowed to empathize with any Palestinian on the silver screen is due to two Israeli producers, Menachem Golan and Yoram Globus. These two filmmakers created an American company called Canon, and they released in a period of 20 years at least 30 films which vilify all things Arab, particularly Palestinians.
A report by the Islamic Human Rights Commission argues that films as diverse as The Siege, the Disney film Aladdin, and the British comedy East is East have helped demonize Muslims as violent, dangerous, and threatening.
Islamophobia now is a part of our psyche. Words such as Arab and Muslim are perceived as threatening words. And if the words are threatening, what about the images that we see in the cinema and on our television screens?
This week's Islam and Life asks the question, why are Muslims represented as the bad guys in Western movies?
If we look at what is happening in the West, the perception of Muslims and the understanding of what Islam is all about, the perception is quite negative. So this is the reality in real life, in our civil societies, in the Western societies, the perception is bad. But it's not only coming from politics or the first dimension of politics. If we look at movies and the way the Muslims are portrayed, it's very negative and very often negative. As it was said, it's coming from after the Second World War. And over the last 10 years, what we have seen on TV, what we have seen on within movies, it's quite negative. And the Arabs, the Muslims, are represented as the bad guys. Why is it so? It's not only something which has to do with entertainment. Behind the scene, there are political concerns, political games and strategies. And we have to understand that movies, Hollywood, is also politically driven, and to try to understand how it is. And in which way, in fact, in the future, Muslims and people being involved in this, in arts and in entertainment, should play a role, because it's very, very powerful in the way it's shaping minds, understandings, and perceptions. So why is it the case? How it could be dealt with? These are important questions. And to answer these questions, I'm joined by Arzu Merali, who is the head of research at the Islamic Human Rights Commission. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you. I've seen
the clip. We know that in real life, so to speak, mm-hmm. the perception of Islam and Muslims is quite negative. Yeah. But that's very important to understand. It's not only coming from politics and daily life. It's mm-hmm. also coming from the perceptions and the way this is, in fact, spread around through movies and entertainment. So, first question, what is the state of affairs? How do you understand, and what can we say about the situation?
I think if we look at the situation, let's speak specifically about Hollywood. Okay, this is still, if you like, the major movie distributor of the world. We have Bollywood, which has its own issues with regard to Islamophobia, unfortunately, these days, but it's another thing. Hollywood still maintains a kind of cultural dominance. You know, it's still the aspirational set of movies, if you like, or movie production that the world looks to in terms of setting its cultural values around and its entertainment values. Now, this is something which affects people's psyche almost unconsciously, okay? People watch movies to unwind generally. Of course, there are very serious movies and so on that people want to get a message from, but that's not really the main thing. So essentially, we're looking at a situation now where, I mean, you mentioned in the last 10 years this sort of extremities of Muslim bad guys. Yeah. But actually, Muslim bad guys have really also been villain of choice for maybe 20, 30 years. So perhaps, you know, the day 9/11 happened, there was already a settled subconscious idea. We knew they were like that. You know, we've had movies going back to sort of Raiders of the Lost Ark, when this kind of, you know, mass of Arabs, violent, misogynistic, cruel, terroristic, eventually, were already kind of set in the back of people's minds. So when something happened, it was proof of, if you like, a fictional background.
So, but this is an important point, because very often we tend to think, oh, after what happened in New York, it started, which is not true. No. It started much before that. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, even once I was talking with someone working at the State Department and say, you know, the problem that you have, you Muslims, is really what is coming from Hollywood, because there is a very powerful political trend, and he was referring to Zionism, he was referring to the people who are supporting Israel, and then the way you are portrayed in this business is quite negative. So this could be one of the reasons. It's not the only reason. How would you explain that, in fact, it's not after September 11, it's much before? So why? What are the main causes explaining that?
I think we have to set Hollywood in the context of it being the media producer of a dominant culture, the dominant culture of the United States. Yeah. And as much as Muslims are very, very seriously and badly affected now, I think we have to also understand this is not something exceptional to Muslims. Okay, so the cultural production of the United States has always been about a dominant culture, a dominant ethnicity, dominant, albeit secularized, religious values, so on and so forth. So this, you know, many communities have had similar experiences. The black community, the Native American communities, these have all been people who've been marginalized, demonized through this kind of media production. Now, set against that, all the political pressures which we've already seen in the VT and so on, and you've got a culmination now of the last 30-odd years of that Muslim dynamic being very, very powerful within the films that come out, and the effect of that is massive. We already have negativity in, you know, the news broadcasts and so on, which is slightly different. But the thing is, even though, you know, people are intelligent and they can decode things, at the end of the day, when people sit down, generally, I mean, there's been many studies done about this, they don't sit down and actually interrogate everything they watch.
Yes.
You know, the theory of cognitive balance.
In an easy way, yes.
Exactly, the theory of cognitive balance is, if you're seeing something that reinforces something you already have in the back of your mind, it just reinforces further.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, that affects all of us.
But you are talking about something which is, once again, is that Hollywood is powerful, is the dominant culture. Still remember, for years, we had something which was the perception that, for example, the black, you know, actors and the people who are representing blackness in the United States of America were having difficulties entering in these worlds. And then we had people, and it started to change with, you know, we still have now few, you know, important movie actors. Denzel Washington is the well-known one now, and working in ethical movies and all this. So something has changed still, and it's still the dominant. They were not representing the dominant. They were just facing something which was real structural discrimination and racism in this business. It's still the case in Hollywood. It's still the case,
for sure.
Even though we have people coming. Why is it now that when it comes to Muslims, when it comes to Arabs, you know, it's easier now to be an African-American in the movie business today than to be an Arab? The perception of the Arab is going to be, oh, you will get the bad guy character. Why is it so, and could it change?
Everything can change. I think as believers we have to believe in that, and we know that it can happen.
In Hollywood,
I think we have to look at, again, the past experiences. Okay, so the politics drove a lot of the different representations. So you had a civil rights movement.
Yes.
And the demonization was very strong during that. Now, yes, there are more black faces in Hollywood,
exactly,
but that doesn't necessarily mean that Hollywood is less racist. It can be more, you know, many people have argued that it's actually just a more sophisticated type of racism. Sadly, Denzel Washington is in one of the movies we very heavily criticize in our book, The Siege, you know, which is a real shame because he seems to be a very principled actor otherwise. The issues around participation, yes, there are issues about the fact that there should be more black faces, more Muslim faces, more everybody in every institution.
The diversity of the society should be there. Yeah.
But that doesn't necessarily change the nature of the institution, because if institutions are structurally problematic, whether it's racist, Islamophobic, sexist, etc., just adding more of any minority group and sort of stirring isn't going to fix it. They're still going to be producing according to that dominant narrative. Mm-hmm. So this is also the bind that a lot of the black community are in, that, you know, you're kind of going into the movie industry, but you're actually still churning out not particularly ethical movies. Mm. You know, maybe the bad guy just changed, but, the problem's just shifted. So it's not helpful, really, for Muslims just to aspire to kind of get in there and become, if you like, the new black. Mm. And there'll be somebody else to demonize, you know. Yes. It's about actually changing the culture, yes, which is much more difficult. It's a phenomenal task. It's a generational task.
Yes, let us talk about this, because even, you know, for the black faces that were there, we talked about Denzel Washington and others, that it started with some important figures. They were very often criticized as being, you know, the token faces of, you know, this business. Oh, they are using you. In fact, you are confirming the very essence of everything. And some Arabs that are accepting to be involved are very often confirming what is happening. Mm. What should be done, in fact, at the end of the day? In Hollywood, and not only in Hollywood, because we can think also of having competing, you know, trends within the entertainment business. What should be done by the Arabs and the Muslims? Because at the end of the day, it's very powerful. And we tend to underestimate the power of the entertainment business, making millions, and as you said, the psyche is very much, because the people are watching a film unprotected, in fact, intellectually, so they take emotionally lots of things that are confirming fears and impressions and emotional takes. So what can we do?
I think one of the first things, and it almost seems obvious, but it's actually sometimes we've often confronted this in our work, is the fact that I think Muslims, Arabs, disenfranchised people need to start understanding about structure and structural discrimination. We don't always see that. We do often think, if only we could show ourselves in a certain light, whether it's to the news cameras, whether we could make a movie that would show Muslims or whoever in their true light, that somehow this would sort of fix the situation. I think we need to have an understanding of what we're up against, you know.
Yes. What do you mean by structural discrimination here on that?
On the issue that where a dominant culture has such a hold.
Yes.
Such a hold. We've got centuries worth of culture behind Hollywood. Film may have only been around 100 years, but there's another couple of hundred years of...
There is a legacy.
Exactly. Yeah. Colonial and cultural domination before that.
Yeah.
Likewise with the British film industry and British arts industry and so on. We cannot just suddenly chip into that and start changing it, you know, and we need to understand that that's... You know, it's not just about adding Muslims and stirring or expressing ourselves in the correct way or a creative way. We should do those things. I'm not saying not to do that.
So you mean we should be involved, but it's not enough?
It's not enough, and we also have to be careful of the involvement, because you don't want to end up being exploited.
Exactly. Yes.
You know, I don't want to obsess about Denzel Washington or anyone else. Everybody has to make difficult decisions, you know.
Yes.
As much as their involvement is problematic, it's the bigger institution that is the problem, you know, and what people do to get on with their lives is different. So if we know what we're up against, we need to sort of plan around that, okay? I mean, as individuals, we all get frustrated and we want to write letters of complaint and this type of thing, and that's good.
Mm-hmm.
It does send messages out to those people who broadcast films, particularly when they get to the TV stage, that, okay, there is a protest to your, you know, reusing of these things, but we have to create alternatives. And we do have some alternative movie, you know, cinemas and genres and so on developing, but it's a long, long-term project. So this is one of the many things that
you know, as we have in the world of consumption and eating, to have alternative what movie business and
that is
producing
one thing
films,
that needs that it does need to happen. There, you know, it's difficult for individuals to plug into that and make that happen, but certainly people who want to go into the media, and there are many, many young Muslims and people of different communities who have these skills. These are the things to start thinking about and thinking proactively, and it's the question for civil society, really, and a kind of non-governmental movements to plug into this. We are never going to have the money that Hollywood has, but we do have creativity, so how do we then channel that into a more productive and alternative way?
Yes.
But that's just one thing.
Do you see this happening? Because, you know, from you know, even over the last 20 years, very often when we speak about a movie or an Islamic movie, even if we have to qualify the movie, very often we end up with the messenger as being the reference. Mm. Nothing really different. It's very poor. We can't compete if so we also have to think about something which is creativity without always being obsessed with the qualification of Islamic. It has to be ethical. It has to be and here there is a lack of commitment. It's as if, at least, the perception is that there is a lack of productivity with creativity in this field.
I think there's a certain validity to that. I would say that there are better movies out there.
Yes. And hopefully, yes.
I think if anyone's familiar with Iranian cinema and the more serious side of it and the entertainment side of it,
yes,
you know, there are things out there. I do think we have to be creative in how we use what already exists. And that, for me, also means that you can use other things. They don't necessarily even have to come from an Islamic base or a Muslim production, but they have ethical content. And in some ways, I think we have a lot of that, but it tends to be quite serious. So, for example, I've been involved in a bookshop and gallery project, which has been set up to promote literature about Islam and human rights. We have a lot of movies like Che and so on and so forth. They're all very serious. I mean, there's great diversity, but they're very serious. So there are still things which are missing, because when we talk about Hollywood, the things I feel, and I think we can probably find a lot of studies that document this. I mean, Jack Shaheen's work, our own report, shows that the ones that have more impact are the entertainment ones. You've got Aladdin. I mean, probably a billion people have seen Aladdin. Raiders of the Lost Ark, the real fun kind of movies. That is something that the resources are not necessarily out there. If you want the kind of serious movies, we need to be a bit more collaborative. We need to be promoting other things, and things exist. But there are gaps. But, you know, it's about planning and strategy and people sitting down and working together cooperatively.
Yes, hopefully. But how can we translate this into reality? Because what you are saying, for example, in the field of human rights, just to connect we should not only... There are lots of things, even in Hollywood, we have to be selective. There are things that are quite good that we can use from an ethical viewpoint. But there are, there are still, and there are elsewhere in Europe, elsewhere we can find, even coming from India, we can find things that are quite interesting. In Iran, we have movies that are coming. How can we promote that? How can we make this being an awareness in the Arab world or the Muslim majority countries or in Asia that we need to be very much involved in creativity, in movies, with an ethical sensitivity, but open to all the productions that are coming.
You know, I was at a meeting at UNESCO earlier this year, in a meeting of the non-aligned movement, and I actually, I'm usually quite cynical, but I have to say, talking to a lot of the people there, I think this awareness has actually sort of hit home. So I'm kind of hopeful that, you know, things will start happening, and there's a sort of concurrent process of kind of the non-aligned countries trying to get their head around cultural domination that comes through the media and specifically Hollywood, because people are quite clever around the world. They can watch biased news media and generally kind of decode it. You know, unfortunately, it's not so much the case in the Western world, but it is certainly outside of it. But we all want to relax, and if we turn on a movie, you know, even the best of us who kind of do this for a living just internalize stuff, you know, because you're not going to sit and watch something and just do it as an exercise in theoretical deconstruction or whatever. So this kind of this realization has hit home. So I think there is a kind of movement amongst certain countries, and I think there is now getting to be an understanding amongst civil society. My concern is really actually more to do with that, because there is a kind of a consistent pressure and dynamic being put on civil society in terms of NGOs, whether they're development work, working in development, advocacy, even advocacy, say, for the Palestinian cause, to sort of integrate into a certain sort of set of social values that talk about your individual agency or your agency as an NGO, which tends to mask all these issues of structure. It's you know, about that do-gooder idea as a, you know, you can do wonderful things by giving your life to charity rather than sort of Well, actually, but are you talking mainly, questioning bigger things.
Are you talking about mainly southern societies in Muslim-majority countries? Is this coming?
Southern
you can
societies,
see
not just Muslim-majority countries.
It's wider than
yes,
that.
It's wider than that.
So like what? For example, do we see things coming from South America dealing with Muslim-majority countries and Arab countries,
Asian countries? I think the start is that people are producing things which are relevant to their experience and that these should be shared. I think there is a little bit of a danger where there's crossover. People are trying to talk about other people's experiences.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It, you know, there are valid creative enterprises, but you know, we shouldn't be replicating the mistakes of a lot of the media producers that have been and gone and still exist. I mean, I'll give you an example of a commissioning editor, Farouk Dondi, Muslim Heritage in the UK 15, 20 years ago, who it was assumed by giving kind of ethnic programming in the United Kingdom that, you know, you've somehow solved the issue of special needs media concerns, which is something that actually UNESCO was involved in 30 years back. And he was asked, well, how do you assess, you know, what the black community want in these programs? And he says, well, you know, I don't need any committee to tell me. I just know black people and I know they have issues with Stop and Search. So he had just kind of reduced, you know, his understanding of his friend's experience and kind of generalized it out. So I think we should also avoid those types of mistakes of being a kind of having maybe a good intention, but,
yes,
you know,
the good intention is not enough. And, and I think that it has to do with professionalism, which is sometimes missing in that. It's entertainment and professionalism.
It's professionalism. And I think a lot of, when we talk about entertainment and fiction, there is a kind of sense of, well, I can be creative, therefore I don't need to be bound by certain rules.
Yeah.
There is an issue of us trying to conscientize media producers. And in some ways, it's easier with the news media because you start talking about fact and objectivity and subjectivity, and they have to listen. But there is a kind of get out clause when it comes to people working in literature and film and artistic production, in that, you know, somehow the license to create overrides some of these concerns. I think enough work has been done now, academic work, and actually, not just academic work, our reports and other reports have surveyed how people feel they have been affected by this type of representation, to say, actually, you know what, you do have to listen. You might not think that you've produced something that actually somebody takes in a violent, you know, feels they've been violated, but it has, you know.
Thank you so much for that. I think it's very important what we are trying to say here, which is, once again, to look at what is happening and the causes. It's not only because after September 11, what we said is it started much before that. And the point is that what we can see coming from southern countries, not only Islamic countries or Muslim majority countries or among Muslims, is a trend that is working on creativity and trying to come with an alternative alternative productions, alternative movies, competing with the dominant and giving another viewpoint. And as we were saying, it's creativity should come with professionalism, should come with seriousness and some of the rules that are so important when it comes to dealing with some of the issues and to get it right. It's very powerful. It's a very important endeavor. And this is where the youngest generation should be involved and try to change things. Well, that's all we have time for. Please let us know your thoughts and views on any of the shows you have seen, and here is the way to contact us.
We'd like to hear your views on today's show, as well as ideas for future programmes. You can do this by emailing us at islamandlife@presstv.co.uk. You can also join our Facebook page by searching Islam and Life on Press TV, where you can view past programmes, keep up to date on future shows, leave comments and meet other Islam and Life fans.
Finally, I would like to thank my guest, Arzu Mirali. Thank you so much for being with us today. And I hope to see you next week, inshallah. We'll be right back.